Hi, my name is Juliet, and I'm the host for this podcast. I'm studying to be a rabbi, and in Judaism, there's a specific portion or reading, parsha, we call it, from the Torah or the Bible for every week of the year. And as we go through these readings week by week in order from the beginning of the Torah to the end, from the beginning of the Jewish year to the end, we analyze the stories and we comment on them. Of course, connecting them to real life, to contemporary life, is how these ancient stories come alive, which is one of my great passions as an almost rabbi. I only have a year to go. Next January, this time. Very exciting. I hope you'll accompany me on this journey as I tell these stories of Torah and of my life, and also of the lives of others. If you miss an episode, you can always go back and find it wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for coming on this ancient and contemporary journey with me. And you can always go to my website and find out about Hashba'ah, spiritual direction, what that's all about, and the prayer services that I offer, and lots of other things. Please go and explore. And also, don't forget to make a donation, because even though these podcasts are given freely, any donations are very much appreciated and also needed. Thanks so much. You can go to the website, lenegditamid.us. And I'm going to spell it now. L as in Larry, N as in nincompoop, EGDITAMID.us. You can play that again if you need to. Thanks. Hi, everybody. So this week I'm going to talk about time. Obviously in relation to the Parsha Mishpatim, but there's been so much going on in my life. My daughter is getting married. There was a lot of planning around that. It was kind of a tumultuous week in that way. And in other ways, but generally good. A lot of worries about what to do about, we've been planning a park wedding because of COVID, mostly the fear of COVID and deciding, well, you know, if we don't know what's going to happen, we never know what's going to happen in time. But these days it's really pronounced. Over the past couple of years, we've really felt it very intensely as a whole, like all of us, the loss of control of time. And then I was listening to a podcast, another podcast, not mine, obviously, on Krista Tippett. I love listening to her on Being. And she was interviewing this guy, Oliver Berkman, who wrote a book called Time Management for Mortals. Great title, but not, you know, very, very deliberately misleading. About how we try to control time, and we're always trying to fit so many things in and get everything done. And this guy in particular who wrote the book talks about his own experience and his own growth around his efforts to control time and to fit everything in. And, you know, all the little things that we have to do all the time and trying to get them done. And then we imagine that, you know, if we just rush and get them done, then the really important things in life will get to those things, the things that we really want to do. So I was listening to that, and all of these things were just swirling around in my head. And then I read the Parsha, and I was like, well, what does this have to do with time? Like, nothing. The laws, this is all about the laws that are given to the Israelites on Mount Sinai. We're at that point. If you remember last week, they witnessed God through the fire and clouds and lightning and thunder, and they were given the Ten Commandments. But this week it's like a whole bunch of laws, just law, 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 tons of them. And so I'm reading them and I'm going like, oh, how can I possibly connect this? And then it occurred to me, talking to a couple of different friends, because I was trying to think out loud about this, and then I realized, like, well, these laws seem stuck, so stuck in time, in so stuck in the past. We think, as we're reading them, like, how does, can this possibly apply to my life today? How does this apply to us today? To, you know, 3, 4, 5,000, I don't know how many, you know, thousands of years later, right? I mean, that's, so, obviously I've got the time all off too, when it was written down, when it was, you know, but time, according to the Piazzetzner Rebbe, is a construct anyway. It's completely, we, even the Piazzetzner Rebbe, I mean, even, I should say, why should I say even? He was a brilliant man, but he was from, and he wasn't from a very long time ago either, speaking of time. He was in the Warsaw Ghetto and became famous. I'm not sure if it was because of that, because of his writings. And he died in the war. And he talks about time as a construct and how we really, you know, with the, our calendars, and do we use the sun or do we use the moon? And he says, I was just reading it yesterday. He says the Israelite people, the Jewish people, we use the moon as our primary way of counting. And yet we still have to make sure that our holidays fall at roughly the same time of year, because certain holidays are fall holidays, certain holidays are spring holidays. So we adjust the calendar, unlike the Muslim calendar, which doesn't. And, you know, you never know when they're going to occur. It could occur in the summertime. It could occur in the wintertime, you know, all that fasting and everything. And, but Jewish holidays, no, like we have leap years and we adjust the calendar, just like the Gregorian calendar adjusts the calendar every year, every 4 years with a leap year. This year happens to be a Jewish leap year, so that we keep it more or less on track. So the construct of time, and getting back to the laws of the Torah. So we have things like daughters sold by their fathers, and what to do if the man who bought the daughter no longer wants him as his wife. He doesn't love her anymore. He loves a different wife better. He, you know, what is he supposed to do? How, like, whoa, okay. That's really in the past. Or skimming the first yield of your vats off, and or giving God your firstborn sons. I mean, what is this? Rumpelstiltskin? Snow White? Right? You know? But then there are other laws that are more translatable to today's world, like what to do if you find your enemy's ass lying on the ground, heavily burdened by a load on its back. Again, at first sight, if we just glance at it quickly in terms of our time, then, and we don't spend time thinking about it, then it seems insignificant to the way we are living our lives. But the answer is, you help the animal even though you hate your enemy. I mean, duh, because it's not the animal's fault. And, you know, don't take it out on the one, if you want to go even beyond animals and animal, making sure that animals are protected and not abused. Let's take it to the human level. Don't take out your anger and your hatred on the one who didn't do anything to you, right? How often do we do that? So, and what about this other, the famous eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth? And it goes on. We only hear that one in the Christian world, but it goes on. There are more body parts that are mentioned. And we think, well, I mean, please, we're not going to do that. I'm not going to gouge somebody's eye. How often do somebody's eyes get gouged out? And are we going to go and do that to somebody else? No. But the fact is, this law doesn't mean you take someone else's eye or tooth out just because they took yours out. Rather, it's about, as it's analyzed by the rabbis and by more contemporary people, the payback should be equal to the infraction. The punishment should fit the crime. And isn't that something we're still learning in today's world? Doesn't that apply to us? I mean, take a look at our criminal justice system and how we, you know, we've criminalized marijuana so much and how many people have suffered because of that, and especially people of color. So is the punishment of no, you know, zero tolerance, stick somebody in jail for 20 years because they had marijuana on them? You know, I think we could learn something from the Bible here. We're still learning it. So the fact is that it's so easy to get stuck in the details, which in the details of the Torah and the details of our life, which don't, and in this case, in terms of the Torah, they don't just seem stuck in time, but they very much are part of the past. And they only sometimes make sense to us in our time. Similarly, like I just said, we get stuck in time in our present daily lives, sometimes specifically stuck in figuring out time, thinking we can conquer it, just like I was saying at the beginning, based on Oliver Berkman's book, Time Management and for Mortals, and his discussion with Krista Tippett. We get bogged down trying to conquer time, beat time, and all the things that need to get done, and thinking that once we've done them all, we'll get to what really matters. But often that never happens because we filled our days with all the have-tos. And then we treat things like our children as disturbing us or taking us away from our work, and we get angry. They're a distraction. I mean, you know, raise your hand if you have not done that. Please speak up if you have not done that to your children or thought about children in that way. Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, guilty as charged. But meanwhile, our children are screaming for attention, reminding us that they are what matters most. And I remember learning when I had young children, because mine are obviously very grown up now. I remember learning how children, little children, and children in general, teach us what's important. They are the ones, you know, you can't hurry a child. Speaking of time, you can't hurry a child. They go at their own pace. And if you want to take a walk with your child, they're the ones who know how to stop and look at the flowers or look at something on the sidewalk or point to something. I mean, they just notice little details that we just don't take the time to notice. And sometimes these details are exactly what we need to be paying attention to, as opposed to the details of what's wrong with what doesn't apply to us anymore in the Torah, those details. So there are details sometimes that we really do need to pay attention to, because that's what life is all about, is appreciating the little things. I went to a Shiva Minyan. I led a Shiva Minyan last week for a friend's mother who died at 96 years old. And she lived with her and her partner, her wife, for 2 years during the past 2 years of the pandemic. And this woman had dementia, like me, you know, like I'm forgetting words. Just kidding. Don't joke about things like that. And she had dementia, but she, you know, and she would forget, like, who are you? What are you doing? But she would always take time. She knew how to stop and say, oh, it could be anywhere. I heard this hilarious story of they're driving over a bridge and all they could see is a parking lot. But she's like, oh, isn't this a beautiful bridge? Or, you know, I mean, that was funny, but like every day, oh, what a beautiful day. Look at the sun shining. How beautiful. This is so beautiful. And she would sit in the backyard of their house in New Jersey and move she would move her chair, and they ended up setting chairs up for her all around the backyard, so that she could follow the sun, because she would literally, otherwise she would get up, this 94, 95, 96 year old woman, pick up her chair. Sorry for the sirens in the background. I'm sure you can hear them. I live in New York City. Yeah, That's the reality. How beautiful, how beautiful is the sound of sirens, because how amazing that I can hear them. I have hearing. I am not deaf. I get to hear all kinds of sounds. And now I'm looking out my window and it's snowing. How beautiful is the snow? I love snow. Anyway, learning to just knowing how to appreciate the little things and sitting in the sun and taking that time. So I had this dream the other night that I had missed my daughter's wedding just because I was getting everything ready for it. You know, here's this park wedding, a lot of responsibility. And the truth is that I've been worrying about, and as my daughter has, about the food. What are we going to do about the food? How am I going to make sure that she's happy with the food? How is she going to make sure that she's, and are we going to feel like this is really a real wedding? I mean, she's got this gorgeous, gorgeous dress that we spent a lot of money on, and I know it keeps going around in my mind, like, how is she gonna really enjoy that dress if we're like in the park? Okay, we're in the garden, beautiful. She's got to worry about getting the trail dirty on it, and then going to sit down in the grass and eating, and then what? Then we're just gonna send everybody home, and she's not gonna really be able, like, we're not gonna, she's, everybody's just gonna go home. You know, how is that? So all these things have been swirling around in my head, and then I had this dream, and I dreamt not only about her wedding, but about her graduation from law school in June, which I didn't miss, but I dreamt that I had, and then it blended into the wedding, and it was just like this message of missing out on the important moments in life, because I didn't miss her graduation. And I remember crying, sitting next to my husband and my daughter in between us, and then watching her go up and, you know, and walk and in her gown, and how close we came to not even being able to be there. And then at the last, like in the last month, because of COVID restrictions being lifted somewhat, they were able to plan an outdoor graduation, and we got to be there. We got to actually see her. It was only the three of us together, but that made it even more special to sit and to sit with her. And she was so happy, and we were so happy. And then the thought that my husband was there with us, and how that could have been different. He went to the hospital 2 years ago, and almost 2 years ago, and almost, you know, might not have come out. You know, and remembering the important things in life. So here I am dreaming again about my daughter's wedding and about her graduation, and I wake up crying, and I turn to my husband and I'm like, this is what I dreamt. I had this horrible dream. And he's like, you know, she sent me a text the other day about wanting to do it in DR. And I was like, what? She's changing her mind again. And then I was got kind of annoyed, like, why didn't I hear anything about this? And was this a joke? And this is all so confusing, and it's driving me crazy, all the changes in plans constantly. And I thought we were settled, and all we had to do was figure out the food. But obviously my dream was telling me something else. So anyway, I talked to her that morning. She happened to be available. We were texting, and I was like, are you serious about that thing with the, you know, DR? Was that a joke? And she's like, no, it wasn't a joke. And then I start asking her about it. And then I'm like, can we just talk? Because this is too confusing over text. And so we talked. I called her on the phone, and she answered like a miracle, 8:30 in the morning on a weekday. And she's talking to me. I guess it was on her mind too, and she really wanted to talk about it. So she told me she was stressing out about the food thing for the park wedding. And I was like, oh my God, me too. And then, you know, she's like, about the dress, and she's not really going to get to be, same things that I was saying, you know? And then she says, imagine, you know, if we went to DR, we could have a vacation, and in the middle of the summer, and it'll be beautiful, and we'll be on the beach, and you know, also inside, and they take care of everything for you, and it's cheap. It's not, you know, it's not as expensive, not nearly nothing compared to having it here. And I thought, you know what? After talking about it for a while, I finally was like, okay, fuck it. Let's do it. Let's do it in DR. And she's like, really, mommy? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. These are the important things in life. Let's just do it. I don't want any regrets. Like, let's not have any regrets. I don't want you to look back on your wedding and think that you wished you had done this or that. This is how I feel about my honeymoon. Like, we went to San Francisco. I thought, you know, I was too cool for a beach vacation, for a beach honeymoon. I was like, we've never been to San Francisco. Let's go there. I'd always wanted to go. It was terrible. I wished for so many years that I'd gone to the beach, especially when I was raising children and I was exhausted all the time. I was like, all I want to do is lie back on a beach. So she was just so happy. And she's like, yeah, you told me about that. And then I was like, let's just do it. And she's like, oh, thank you, mommy. And then she was so happy and I was so happy and it was all settled. And I checked in with her the next day and I was like, let's, you know, how about this? How about that? Let's think about this date, that date. Let's not do it, you know, too close to Tisha B'Av, I was reminded. Let's not do it on the weekend of Tisha B'Av. Definitely not. Bad luck. When the temple was destroyed, like, you know, not good luck. And then, you know, according to our tradition, so many bad things happened on so much destruction. Anyway, so here I'm thinking it's all settled. And I'm like, how about this date? And then she says, can we talk? I'm like, oh no. So is Poppy there? Yes. So we're all talking on the phone and she's like, I'm rushing. I know this is not right. I'm trying to make everybody happy. It's not working. I can't make everybody happy. I'm just trying to please everyone. And she finally realizes that she can't, and let's push it off until the fall when I can still use my beautiful dress, but more people can come. And not that we hadn't talked about these things, but it seemed right at the time. And then it wasn't, you know, and she's not afraid of COVID anymore. Her fiance just had it. She didn't get it again. Things are going to calm down again around the summer. And the fall. And so here we are again, not knowing what's going to happen and how we're going to do this. And we're faced again with time, like the timing in the Torah being all wrong for us, it seems, those laws, right? Yet it's also so timeless. Because honestly, like the Piazetzner Rebbe said, what is time after all? We plan, we do everything according, this is not what he said, we do everything according to what's right. But anything can change in a flash. If there's one thing we should have learned from COVID, it's to let go of the plans, to let go of the to-dos as much as possible. And just remember that paying attention to what really matters is the most important thing. Let's not pay attention to the construct of humanity of time. Let's just pay attention, because the other thing that he says is that time, if we treat it as sacred and not just a construct, if we think of time as sacred, that changes everything. So my blessing for us this Shabbos and for the week is, for the coming week, is that we remember what is sacred each time we begin to worry about time. And let's act on that sentiment, act on what is sacred. And let us say amen and good Shabbos. And thanks for being here with me. And we'll talk next week. Bye.